are listening to Real World News.
The role of rich countries at the UN climate talks. With the current reduction in emission promises by different countries, the world is facing a scenario where world temperature could increase by 4 degrees Celsius, warned Pablo Solon, Bolivian UN ambassador in Bonn, Germany. And the developing countries would reduce more emissions than developed countries, the main responsible for climate change, he added. Solon spoke at a press conference carried out at Maritime Hotel, where the official talks are taking place, and Real World Radio was present. The UN ambassador had revealed official numbers at the latest negotiation round that took place in April in Thailand, Bangkok, that showed the poor emission reductions proposed by rich countries. According to these figures, with the promises currently on the table and the use of offset mechanisms such as the carbon market, 65% of emission reductions will take place in developing countries, approximately 3.6 gigatons of CO2. The remaining 35% will take place in the global north, 1.9 gigatons. Scientific studies estimate that countries should reduce 14 gigatons of CO2 per year by 2020 if we want to avoid a rise in global temperature by over 2 degrees Celsius, which would be catastrophic for climate. Let's now listen to the press conference where Solon talked about these issues and more.
Myself, I'm Ambassador Pablo Solon from the National State of Bolivia. I'm chief negotiator for my country for climate change. We are going to focus our presentation on one of the key issues of the negotiations. That is, how are we going to close the gap that we all admit that is the main issue of the negotiation. We have had last week several workshops, and there is a common agreement that there is a gap and we need to close it. And the key issue for us to close the gap, to put it in concrete way, why is it so important to close this gap? You can see here, this is Chacaltaya, it's one of our glaciers, our mountains in Bolivia. And you can see the red line in 1940, the glacier was covering all that area that's on red. In the year 1982, it was covering where the line blue is. In the year 2001 is where the black line is. And by the year 2010-2015, the glacier will be only covering the line on yellow. And this is happening only with an increase in the temperature of 0.8 degrees Celsius. So if we are speaking of a scenario of 4 degrees Celsius, we are speaking of a scenario of catastrophe for the Andean region and our glaciers. So just to put in context, why is it so important from our point of view, and we fully understand the perspective of small island states and African countries, to close the gap, to not be in a scenario of 4 degrees Celsius like the one we are now after Cancun. During the presentations that took place last week, UNEP made this presentation, and you will see that what UNEP said, what the civil society from Cannes said, what we said as the plurinational state of Bolivia, is almost very similar. What is the main position? If we keep on doing business as usual, by the year 2020, there will be emissions of 56 gigatons. If we take into account and we apply the pledges of Cancun, the least ambitious will mean only a reduction to 53 gigatons. The most ambitious pledges that were made in Cancun, they will reduce to 49 gigatons. But still, UNEP says there will be a gap of 5 gigatons. That is why, in order to be in a scenario of less than 2 degrees Celsius, it's necessary to close that gap. That gap can be between 5 or 9 gigatons, depending on which level of pledges you're going to take into account. This is the graph that was presented by Cannes. It says with slightly differences on the figures, but the same. In the case of the unconditional pledges, the emissions will be by the year 2020, 53 gigatons. The high level of conditional pledges will reduce to 49 gigatons, but still we need to go to 4 gigatons to be in a scenario of 2 degrees Celsius, with a slightly possibility to be in a scenario of 1.5 degrees Celsius. So there you can see the two curves, the green one and the white-blue one. Both of them say this is the gap, we have to reduce this amount of gigatons by the year 2020 if we want to be in a pathway to 2 degrees Celsius or to 1.5 degrees Celsius. We presented this. It's another way, but it's almost the same, based also on UNEP and the Environmental Institute of Stockholm. The abatement that we need to do to have is 14 gigatons. And taking into account the pledges that have been made in the lower end are 6.6, but in reality, we highlighted something that is also in the UNEP report, there is 1.1 gigatons that is going to be an offset. So in reality, if developed countries, the ones that are in blue, are going to reduce 3, and developing countries are going to reduce 3.6 gigatons, in reality, developed countries are not going to reduce 3 gigatons, because 1.1 gigatons are going to be reduced by developing countries through offset. And at the end, the last line, instead of having a reduction of 6.6 gigatons, we're only going to have a reduction of 5.5 gigatons, because you cannot double count what developed countries say they are going to reduce, but in reality is going to be reduced by developing countries through the offset mechanism. In the UNEP report, and also in the Environmental Institute of Stockholm, they say that the double accounting for offsets, because of market mechanisms, and new market mechanisms can be something between 1 gigaton to 1.6 gigatons. So, we had three clear presentations saying, look, there is a gap. We can discuss if it's 12 or 14. We can discuss exactly how much we have already accomplished with these low-end pledges. But we all realize that it's still necessary to reduce something between 5 to 9 gigatons. This graph was presented by Cannes. It's very interesting, because if you saw in our presentation, we said that the pledges say that there is going to be a reduction of 6.6, but there is blue and red. Blue is developed countries. Red is developing countries. So the 6.6 is not only what Annex 1 parties are going to do, is what Annex 1 parties are going to do with non-Annex 1 parties. And Can presented something even more detailed. They presented here, country by country. The two columns to your left are the low-end pledges, the low targets. And the two columns here are the high targets. And there you can see each country, what he's going to do in the low targets or in the high targets. And you can see that here, developing countries are going to do more than developed countries. In the lower end pledges, they are going to do something around 3.8 gigatons, while developing countries are going to do 3.8 gigatons, while developed countries are going to do 3. And if you see in the high end pledges, they are going to do more than 5 gigatons, while developed countries are going to do less than 4 gigatons. And you can compare here country by country, taking into account the pledges that were put in Cancun. So from the Cancun agreements, we come with a conclusion. We are in a scenario of 4 degrees Celsius, and in reality, developing countries are doing more than developed countries. And we need to close the gap. So how do we move? Because we want answers. We think that it's necessary to close that gap. That gap from 5 to 9 gigatons that's remaining in order to have an abatement of 12 to 14 gigatons. It's necessary to close it. And developed countries and developing countries should do their effort. But we have clearly addressed developed countries should do more than developing countries. And we should take some parameters to understand what we mean when we say should do more. Parameters of population. Annex 1 parties, 20% of the population. Non-Annex 1 parties, 80% of the population. Tons of CO2 per person. In Annex 1 parties, 14 tons per person. In non-Annex 1 parties, 3.8 tons per person. If we take cumulative tons per person, in Annex 1 parties, 685 tons per person. In non-Annex 1, 56. If we want to speak about historical emissions, from 1850 to 2005, 74% from non-Annex 1 parties, and non-Annex 1, only 26%. This data is from the World Resource Institute. So there is a gap. We all have to do our effort. We are not saying that only Annex 1 have to do their effort, but they have to do more than developing countries because precisely of these figures. And the way we distribute the gap should take into account this situation. The other key element in order to close the gap is the peaking level. That means that Annex 1 parties should have begun already by the year 2000 or even before to reduce in absolute terms the greenhouse gas emissions. If you read Article 4.2a of the Convention, it clearly says that the emission reductions of developed countries should take place during that decade in order that they have emissions that have come to a level that is less than at the beginning of the decade. Now, in reality, what has happened is that if you take out economies in transition, that is the blue line, yeah, there you see the peaking level. But if you take out that, the green one is the average, and you only get with the red pink line, that is the emissions from developed parties, Annex 1 parties, that are not economies in transition. And as you can see, the peaking level has not begun yet. We are here in a discussion of that we all need a peaking level at global term before 2020. But if developed countries don't take the lead and don't begin to implement their own peaking level, it's very difficult, it's impossible to ask for developing countries to begin to discuss the issue of the peaking level. So, the other issue that was raised and we want to clearly highlight is the issue of rules. We are not against the discussion of rules, rules that have to do with LULUCF, rules that have to do with the carryover of the AAUs. But this is a graph that was presented by EOSIS, not by us. What does it show? It shows that if we have good rules in LULUCF and good rules in AAUs, what will happen is that the gap won't increase, but not that the gap will decrease. So there's a lot of pressure, and we have clearly expressed to the European Union you want to discuss rules, we're not against that. But discussing rules doesn't close the gap. What does it does is avoids that the gap will even increase more, because as you can see, if there is not clarity in the rules of LULUC and the surplus of AAUs, you can have an increase in emissions of 11% according to the data of AOSIS. That is very similar to the data that was presented by the EU. So with this, we want to highlight that the key issue in order to reduce the gap is not the rules. The rules has an effect in order to not increase even more the gap. This is a graph from the European Union that was presented, and that clearly expresses what we just said. They are saying, if you see to your right, that business as usual, you see the green triangle with the high, if we implement the highest pledges, we will be there. But still, we need to be where it says 2 degrees Celsius range. So the European Union admits exactly what we are saying. If there are no, and we are going now to the second column here to my left, if we don't discuss, that green triangle can be reduced because there is no clarity in accounting rules and no assumptions on baseline for reductions and so on. But as you will see, if we have those rules, it's not that the gap is going to close. The gap is not going to increase, and we're not going to be in a scenario where the only reduction will be that small triangle that you see in the column of your right. So the issue of reducing the gap is not in the heart of the discussion of rules. What is our proposal? First, we need to agree between Annex 1 parties, non-Annex 4 parties, what is the amount of the gap that we want to close. We say, if you agree to a 2 degrees Celsius scenario, how much that means in terms of gigatons that have to be reduced by the year 2020. And in the different studies that we have seen, there is not such a big difference. 14, 12, 16, there is a range. So we should come out of bond saying, this is the goal in concrete terms. Second, we should come out with an agreement that whatever the figure that we agree is, if it's 12 or 14, developed countries, Annex 1 parties, should do more in the reduction of that gap. We think that it's absolutely fair. And we should take step 3, different parameters, to see how we distribute that gap. Parameters of common but differentiated responsibility, like population, historical emissions, and others. At the present time, developing countries are going to reduce more than developed. As I have shown you in the graph that was presented by Cannes, they are going to reduce more than 5 gigatons, while developed countries are only going to reduce something like 3.7 gigatons from its business as usual. Step 4, developed countries' peaking level should have started already. It is not possible, and you can see in the presentations that were made on Thursday, that some developed countries show their graphs, show that, yes, they are going to reduce their emissions. But when you see those graphs, you never see when the peaking level is going to begin. And Annex 1 parties should have begun their peaking level. Otherwise, there is no possibility to to have a concrete response to the problem that we are facing. This was an agreement of the convention and of the Kyoto Protocol. We want it to be put in force, in place now. Step five, we are playing hide and seek. So we say, let's make the commitments in gigatons, in black and white. What we are going to reduce, what is going to be our abatement from business as usual, from the levels of 1990. But let's make it clear. Let's put the figures on domestic terms, without offsets, so we know where we are. Because when we begin this discussion, it's always, we're going to do 30%, but the 30% is if there is this kind of rules and this kind of market mechanism, and at the end we don't know really what this country, this party is going to do. So in order to avoid that discussion that confuses everybody, the best thing is to put the commitment in black and white, in gigatons. What is intends to be achieved by the year 2020, so we will see if we are consistent with reducing the gap that we have. And our last proposal that was made during this workshop was that we need to create an ad hoc working group that deals with those parties that don't want to fulfill their commitments under the Kyoto Protocol or under the Convention. We have already negotiated an agreement. Countries have ratified that agreement. We cannot simply say, well, now they don't want to fulfill and nothing is going to happen, let's begin to discuss a new legally binding agreement. Because then we have a precedent. We agree on a new legally binding agreement, and here in 10 years somebody comes and says again, well, you know, now I don't want to fulfill my obligations under this new legally binding agreement, and because you accepted that 10 years ago, I can do it again. No. We think that the logic is, we have an international agreement, we are all obliged to fulfill it. If somebody doesn't want to fulfill it, then the rest of us has to discuss what actions are we going to take in relation to that concrete party. And not do the opposite. What is the opposite? Well, let's everybody get out of the agreement so that nobody is obliged to nothing. And then is the chaos. So, for us, it's very important to address the issue of concrete measures that not one country, but all of us, are going to take in relation to those parties that don't fulfill their obligations under the convention or the KP, because there are obligations under the convention that are not being fulfilled, like, for example, the Peking level. And just to conclude, I was tempted to present you this graph that was presented by the EU in its presentation on Thursday. And I wanted just to present it to you because we are very critic of the Cancun Agreement. And I was very pleased to see it because they show what should we have in the triangle that's in light blue, and they show all the things that haven't been accomplished in the Cancun Agreement, that is the triangle on this pink triangle. And there is, and when it comes to accounting rules, what accounting rules, it's not clear in Cancun. In relation to the commitments, it's not commitment, it's pledges and needs clarification. In relation to CDM, it's not clear if there's going to be a new market-based mechanism. In relation to reviews, when it comes to IER, it's not clear how. In relation to facilitation and compliance, it's absolutely uncertain in Cancun. So That is a graph of what was Cancun, not made by Bolivia, but by the European Union, of what was really achieved there. Well, thank you very much, and now we're very open to any question that you can have.